Hey, this is the Bachelor Masters, and we are not coming at you live from Los Angeles, per usual. I am in Ohio.
Where in Ohio?
I was in Cleveland, and now I'm in Worcester, which is not far from Cleveland, just maybe 40 miles south. And then starting tomorrow, I'm going to be in Akron. I don't want to upset any people that are from Ohio. See, I'm doing that thing where I just kind of come and like think I know everything about what's going on here. That's far from the case. Yeah. Akron for 4 nights. Yeah, I've had things to do in all these different places, but Akron I don't. So I'm just going to see what there is to see.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe try to find some LeBron James growing up sites. I don't know. The weather's been nice. It could be very, very, very hot and humid here in the Midwest / Rust Belt this time of year. And it's been very pleasant this whole week, and mostly in Worcester. But it's going to get very, very hot and humid tomorrow. That's what the weather report is saying. So I'm gearing up for it. Now, enough about me. EZR. You yeah. are also not in Los Angeles. You are in the great state of Washington.
Yeah. Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, specifically.
I am on Vashon Island between by ferry Tacoma and Seattle, very close to Seattle. And yeah, just hanging out. There's a deer looking at me right now.
So you just decided to go to this island, which is, you know, thousands of miles away from Los Angeles to hang out.
I have a friend who lives and works here. If anyone invites me anywhere, I'll be like, yeah, I'll be there. I'll go.
Well, you come meet me in Akron, I guess. I mean, I can't promise anything.
See, it's not with that attitude. You have to be way more excited to invite me. I have to be like, he was like, come hang out, come. I'm like, all right. So I'm here to see him. He didn't think I'd come.
Okay, cool. You haven't posted any photos to Facebook.
Facebook? Oh, well, you know me.
Well, yeah, it's very pretty up there in Seattle. I would have thought you might show off with some photos of water, mountains, evergreen trees, breweries.
These are all things you can look up. There's the internet now. You don't need my pictures. I don't have any pictures. I have pictures of nothing. I think I took maybe a total of 5. I'm not a picture person. I took maybe 5 pictures so far. I can look up a deer. I'm looking at one, and he's trying to eat these apples. So,
well, since my mission in life is to upset people that are friends with me on Facebook, I can't hold back. So, being that Ohio decides our presidents,
yes,
right, it's specifically a few counties. I actually looked up where those counties are. They're way too far south for me to get to. I would have liked to go there, but the newspapers, front page newspapers, about this 4% tax cut to some sort of middle tier business, how they want to keep it, the tax cut going in the next fiscal year. Presidential elections go as the 4% tax cuts in Ohio go, basically, right?
It's not a single issue voter. That's a time / location. That's like so many vectors invested in one that'll decide 20 years from now what will happen. Oh my God. Yeah, it's all much more butterfly effecty than we thought.
Even the Republicans, it was like a bipartisan report said that this 4% tax cut hasn't led to any development in business or jobs or anything. So they were like, let's just go ahead and cut it, or let's just go ahead and stop the cut. So anyway, I went on Facebook and I created one of these photo collections that you can create, right? Like a
collection. Yes.
And I called it Ohio Open for Business with an exclamation point. And it's all pictures I've been adding to it of closed down businesses that I've come across along the way.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah, thanks for not liking it, by the way.
I didn't get it. I thought you were just showing me open field. I didn't see
right. Here's where a business used to be that is now an overgrown grass lot.
Yeah.
But well, there were some buildings that were like boarded up, right?
Don't worry, your mission is complete. You want to annoy people on Facebook. You just said.
Well, if you didn't I'm not annoyed, but
I don't get it.
But you're in the top percentile of people I would have expected to get it.
I'm not too much of a critical reader on Facebook posts. I'm sorry. I like scroll. Well, I rarely look at pictures. I try to look more for articles. So maybe I'm not your demographic.
I think that's why no one likes my stuff anymore, is basically because I guess no one gets it. And I'm not trying to imply that I'm too good for people because putting out stuff that they don't get.
I think
my irony has gone too far.
Too nuanced. Yeah.
I would have expected, I mean, right now I think there's 7 or 8 photos. I would have expected a bunch of them being boarded up storefronts that would have made sense.
I'd have to go back and look. Go online. I'm trying not to. Except for this.
All right, so do we have to talk about this episode? I don't want to be that guy that's like, oh, this episode.
You're already that guy.
I already am. But I'm trying to come up with a reason to be in a bad mood. This is what we've got. We've got this episode to talk about. And we're going to get Mike to The Bachelor. Our listeners already know our issues with him. I mean, I just feel duped by this season. It was going great. Hannah, she still continues to do some things that I really find compelling. It's like watching the end of a fire, like a house burns down. And you're just watching the end. You already know it burnt down. It's not that interesting anymore, but you still stand there to kind of watch it just because there's just nothing else to do because the house is burned down.
That's a good analogy because at the beginning of any fire, it's exciting. But then by the end, you're kind of like, that is a very empty feeling at the end. Walk away, move on, something. It depends how impactful it is to you, which... Unfortunately, it becomes impactful to you because you start to care about people. I'm not saying in the fire. I'm saying, you know, I kind of care about Hannah and her well-being. I kind of care about Luke and his mental well-being. He might get pushed over the edge.
Like Battle of the Evangelicals.
Really was. And it's funny because it wasn't, you'd think that they would give us deep cuts because they're both so religious, you know? But they're giving us stuff that I've heard give me some, you know, B-sides to the Bible, not like what we all know.
This happens a lot on Facebook where people you've known for a long time, maybe from partying or college or high school or whatever, they turn evangelical. And it's that first couple years, they're only picking up the bits and pieces and tying it together. That's kind of where Luke is. I think it's been 3 or 4 years, but he's still in that thing where he doesn't quite get it like the old timers get it.
Anybody that tries to find community through, because they don't have it before, through anything. It could be politics. I know lots of people that all of a sudden are angry about politics, don't really get the big picture, but get these little nuances. Or like these kind of like talking points, these tropes.
Yeah, he was only half informed, and to Hannah's credit, you could tell she's been going to Bible study her whole life because she, like, if this is a debate club, she had it all together, whereas he was just kind of like halfway there.
Okay, so are we going to talk about Luke first? I don't mind.
Well, I know
I
you
want to know so I can go into my things.
Let me just get one more Craig thing to get off his chest, which is Tyler. I know.
We're going completely out of order.
When she said, I'm not going to have sex with you, but I still want to hang out with you. That's great. That's fine. And his response was to be the mature, and he said the right things. And she absolutely loved that, right? She even said, I've never had a guy be that respectful to me before. That sucks. But B, let me just explain this to people who might not know. A guy could either be A, genuine, and everything that Tyler said is completely genuine and there's nothing else behind it. Or B, pissed that he's not going to get laid, but is still going to say the exact same things in the exact same ways.
I thought that too.
I'm not giving a value judgment on whether or not Tyler was A or B.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter who you are in that situation, you're going to say the exact same thing. And so let's get off the Tyler bandwagon here and let's all take a deep breath.
We're on it.
What he said is not all that epic.
Yes, exactly.
It was the right thing to do, but it wasn't epic.
Right. I'm not all that. I'm not impressed at all because for a while there, I'm like, of course he's going to say that. But then when they get into the room alone, who knows? Maybe he'll talk her into it. He didn't. Big deal. Right. All he has to do is contain himself for one night and then he gets the rest of his life to bang anyone he wants because everyone's going to just.
He didn't bang her. So now every girl is going to want to bang him. Yeah, so tactic is a great strategy. The thing that continued to worry me was that Hannah was like, oh, yeah, then he'd make out with me and then stop.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the world we live in, unfortunately, where stopping is an achievement. And that's an indictment on our entire culture.
I would take offense to that a little bit. I'm like, why did he stop? Doesn't he want me? I don't see it as this good guy move. I see it as the strategic move.
Yeah.
So I'm very, like, the fact that people just start really want to like him, like, really like him for that is a little bit like, come on, how low are our standards here?
Yeah. I mean, what did he talk about?
Yeah. What does he talk about? Yeah, what does he ever say that's interesting? He seriously goes in circles. He has nothing to say. And he's like, yeah.
Like we said, there's people like that, women like that. I don't know. I feel like talking about, I don't know, all the crazy things going on in the world. Is Syria still chemical weapons on their own people? Is there still trade war with China? Are we still sending aircraft carriers to the Middle East? I don't know. I just feel...
He wants to talk about his pops and about his job.
I want to talk...
I know.
I'm not talking about Tyler anymore.
You know what's Tyler... Well, I'm talking about Tyler. You know the, like, his top three things on his list are, like, all the only thing that fills his mind. Ah, I have plenty of ditzy guy friends. I do. I have guy friends that are... And I guess my ditzy guy friends tend to be surfers and skaters and are just like, bruh. Yeah. But come on. Like, what I thought about her not having sex with him was that she just... Whoever was number one on the Bachelor producer's list for her to have sex, like, whoever was number one on Fantasy Suites Week,
right,
that was the person she was going to have sex with, no matter what. So it could have been Tyler. Could have been Luke.
We've given her credit for being thorough in her thinking through all of this. And it was a smart move to say, Peter is a really good guy to get along with, but he could kind of really suck in bed. I mean, he kind of gives off that vibe. So we got to test that out. And Tyler is probably really good at bed, obviously. And then, but at the same time, he can't hold a conversation for more than 5 minutes. So she did the right thing. There's no wrong. Yeah, I don't see anything more than to it than that.
I love that she... Okay, but let's just read into it more just for our own sake. That was a great thing to say. I thought saying, you know what? We've got the physical thing down. Let's work on the talking thing since we have a lot of issues, since that could be an issue if I choose you. Didn't seem like she was going to choose him at the end. But that also seemed to me a little reversed engineered. You know when you're trying to think of an excuse and you think of a great one? That would be a great excuse. That's great. Like, she doesn't really, she already had her sex. She's not going to pick Tyler either. No matter what, no matter how many women like him, he's not for her. Like, she's not going to pick him. We can see that, despite what we know about the ending, which I don't, like, it's all kind of muddy to me now. But, well, if we're going to talk about, should we go chronologically from this point on, or are you just going to do whatever your brain tells you?
You know, I'm traveling. I'm not sleeping in my own bed. I come up with crazy thoughts. This is something that's been in my mind for a while now, and it's not going to happen anytime soon. I don't want to scare anyone, but at some point, people are going to wake up and look at their podcast app, and the Bachelor Masters will have just suddenly become the Masters. I just wish we had more to work with. I don't know.
You're looking at it as minutia, and that's, I think, where the biggest ideas come from. So I don't think...
That's reassuring.
I think you have that traveler's down right now. I feel the opposite. Okay. I am not sleeping in my... I'm sleeping on the... You know, I'm camping, and I'm thinking about, The Bachelor, especially hometowns and fantasy suites can feel so repetitive. But there is something here. Let's just, we can go through Peter, Tyler real quick, and then we'll get to the big ideas that I think exist here. Because I'm interested in how people took this. And if Jed had not been outed as having a girlfriend before this, how would they have taken what he said? Because now they're pouncing on anything. But let me just get through Peter real quick.
You gave me hope. It's good. Re-energized now. I just need some oppressive humidity and hot weather to take me back to my traveler's down, but that won't happen till tomorrow.
Okay. So Peter seems genuine enough. Now, he might not be the Bachelor, but I think the key to a great Bachelor is innocence, the way Peter seems to have. I might just be basing that off of his face, but that's the way he looks. Mike definitely does not have any innocence. I don't feel Tyler does either. So I think that's kind of the key, because it gets, you know, when there's the Bachelor and the contestants are women, not you.
Is innocence equate to the number of people you've slept with?
No. It equates to your reasoning and how you get to conclusions. And it also has to do with how aware you are of how women's worlds,
how aware of you are that how many people got gassed in Damascus? Aleppo.
Let me think.
Like, I mean,
it could go there. It could definitely translate to that, to like an awareness of what the world is actually like. But I think it has a lot to do with just kind of an emotional unawareness, because it creates these situations for the contestants, the women, that are so like dynamic. It's like a game to win him over. And that's the fun of The Bachelor.
And we're talking about Peter here.
I'm talking about if Peter was The Bachelor. And I think for a bachelorette, the key to a good bachelorette is that she is critical. Because critical really tears apart men's worlds. But Hannah's not really seeing the jock mob we're seeing, I think. So, and then, of course, the key to Bachelor in Paradise is just to be, like, super loose and, like, kind of slutty. And then you have a good Bachelor in Paradise.
This is all a great analysis of the Bachelor shows, but what does this have to do with Peter?
Because I hope that they would pick him as the Bachelor, because I'm assuming that he's, because I don't really have any hard proof. I just, the feeling I get from him is that he's a little naive to emotional woman's world. I'm not sure. Maybe he's super in tune. And that can be interesting too, because I don't think there's been a Bachelor in a long time that's in tune, except for Nick Viall, who uses it in a like evil way.
Right.
But Peter could have that like cultural in tuneness that I think would be very interesting for The Bachelor.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead.
The thing with Peter is he does that thing where every sentence or every phrase, I guess, comes out mid laugh. It's very annoying.
Oh.
Let me see if I can reproduce it over audio only. Oh yeah. And then I was thinking like, and then you know, I want to take you to this great place. And
it's like always like stress.
It is. It just got a little old watching it.
Thing. Yeah. So that's kind of the surfer bro jockey.
Yeah, sure.
The LA mentality, you know, Malibu.
It just gets stolen. It'd be hard to live with someone that does that.
It's the version of like being easygoing. Like being easygoing.
Yeah, and he's probably nervous. But you know, all this Apollo stuff is on, right? Because it's the anniversary of going to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong, of course, lots of other people went to the moon after that. But they were very interesting people just on their own before they went to the moon, because they could be trained really well. That's why they picked them. Like they could focus on one thing. You could probably call them, I don't know. They didn't get distract themselves with things going on around them. They could focus on training to do the same thing over and over 10 hours a day for
one
a year or
something.
Yeah, I guess so.
You mean
so,
like, you know, just focus.
When they got to the moon and they were landing the Eagle, the big story is always like Neil Armstrong changed the trajectory because something was wrong and they landed with only a few seconds of fuel left or something like that. It's true that he did, but it wasn't like me jumping into a cockpit of a crashing plane and taking over and landing. He'd been trained to do exactly the things that he did. It was, I don't want to call it robotic, but it was absolutely what the training had given him the capacity to do. But at the same time, you know, so when they went to the moon and came back, you know, they saw the Earth as this little disc. So they're already quiet, reserved dudes.
Disc? You mean sphere?
Well, it looks like a disc. I don't know.
I know, but you're going into the flat.
Yeah. Oh, right. They see the turtle underneath the disc. So they're already kind of quiet, reserved guys who don't really talk about their feelings and they just focus on what's at front of them. But when they come back, I always got the sense that they were like, they'd seen the Earth in all of its beauty and now they're coming back and seeing what it really is. That's got to be the ultimate depression, right? You see the Earth as this beautiful object that the universe has created, and you come back and there's war. Like, I see them in these interviews after, and I just I can sense that. And that's got to be the ultimate opposite of what I think you're describing Peter as being, right? Peter's, oh, yeah, everything's great. But it's surprising to me because he flies planes. He sees the world from above, not anywhere as far as the moon, but I would imagine a pilot would see the Earth as just this large landscape and the little problems that we all have would fade away. And then you get back and you realize that they're all still there. Wouldn't that mature you? Wouldn't that make you?
Yeah. Some people are so immune to any kind of wonder.
Yeah.
Some people, I hope you're going to give me enough time to go into Luke and Jed here, because I don't want you to cut me off because you're digressing and you really depressed me with that.
I'll do what I say. Every podcast and shut up.
I like where you're going with it. I get what you're saying. I think that ability to compartmentalize is part of the innocence naive thing. And, you know, not take things in, not understand, not put it in a context of what are we for? What are humans for?
Right.
This is why I think he's also a good bachelor. What you're saying is, I think, is so interesting. But he's also super genuine when it comes to what he says to her. In the way that makes me think that he actually does kind of, he's a little bit of a more nuanced thinker. Everyone else kind of says the cliche lines. But I felt through seeing him all season that he has something there. Maybe that's why he could be a great bachelor, because they could push him to be what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's almost there. I don't feel the ditziness from him as much as I do other guys. Even though I can see what you're saying, that he's a little ditzy. You know, he laughs, he jokes mm-hmm. around, he's always smiling. But there's definitely, like, there could be something there.
All right, well, bottom line, he's a quagmire. I don't think they're going to roll him out as the bachelor.
No, he also looks too young, I think. Yeah. My problem with them picking... Okay, with Becca, I knew that the men were not that interested in her. With Hannah, I'm not so sure, but I kind of assume they're not. And mm-hmm. that's what makes for also an obnoxious season. Not necessarily that she's a bad bachelorette. Mm-hmm. But you have to pick someone that people actually really want to date, so that there's a lot of emotions at stake. And I think people really would want to date Peter. And I don't think people actually want to date Mike, or actually want to date, I don't know, mm-hmm. I guess Luke's not getting picked. But at one point, if Jed hadn't gotten picked, they might not actually like him. And Tyler, too. Tyler's a Colton. Like, women do, some women do, some women don't. There's too much of a toss-up. I don't want to watch another season when I'm trying to figure out who the Bachelorette is going to be. I want to watch a season where everyone is all in, you know, like, as is the cliche. I'll be a little bit annoyed because it's going to be very much grandstanding if they pick Mike. That's what it's for. No one actually, like, just him alone, he's not interesting. He's not fun. He's rude.
I don't want to interrupt you because I've already had my rant and you're mid-rant, but didn't you want to get to the list?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, excuse me, Mr. Spaceman.
Yeah.
Okay, so Hannah said something interesting during Tyler's date. So we went through Peter. Something interesting during Tyler's date.
Wait.
You want to talk about the sex? I don't care.
I mean, everyone else is. I feel like we should say something about it.
Go ahead. I don't care. They had sex, so.
I have no recollection of what they actually did on their date. I just kind of picture
they Peter. Went on a boat and made out. It doesn't matter. They just had sex. I mean, it's so boring.
So you had sex once a night, once in the morning. Okay, great. Yeah. Good for them.
Okay, Tyler. The only interesting part about that date, other than what we already talked about, but to bookend what I said last episode about Peter and his family and how she's kind of like, no, too much not me here. I need to mm-hmm. see myself in my in-laws' family. She said to Tyler, when I met your family, I thought these are my people. I think that's almost directly a quote.
Mm.
That's the kind of family she wants to end up with.
She wants to be maybe not Tyler. Jupiter. She gets the family.
I think she wants to swap out like Luke's. She wants to put Jed's mind in Luke's body with Tyler's family. Mm-hmm. So like that's her perfect man or something like that.
Yeah, it's like we talked about last week about how Peter's world is not the South, and that's a critical problem. So while it was fun with Peter and all, it's more like a fling for her.
Yeah.
She liked Jupiter because it's the South with water and boats and lighthouses.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Jed. Now, I'm going to tie Jed and Luke together a little bit. I'm going to go on my rant.
Okay.
Me and you, we both saw the episode a little late. I saw some memes coming in. I saw some commentary coming in, but I didn't really pay too much attention because I didn't want to get it spoiled. But everyone pounced on Luke for what they already know and what they already assumed and just kind of filled in the holes with what they wanted mm-hmm. to see, right?
Right.
Jed said something that to me was a lot worse than what Luke said. Because they both gave these veiled threats, right? But Luke's threat was like, I'm going to leave. And Jed's threat felt a little bit more like an emotional hostage barter situation. I'm falling in love with you. And by the way, his quote was, I know you feel similar.
Right.
Now, if you really are in love with someone, you're not going to say, I know you feel similarly to the way I feel in love. Like, that felt so...
in love.
Similarly in love with you. Like, as if you're writing, a paper and comparing two ecosystems or something.
I think you just named this episode of the podcast.
Okay. So he threatened by saying, but I can't love you unless you do what I say. Mm-hmm. So while Luke's threat was, I'm going to leave, Jed's like, do what I say or I won't love you anymore. Like, that's what, if you boil it down, that's what he said. The only thing is Jed's a lot better at making it more, like, it's easier to swallow. He like coats it in so much that you're like, I can get that. She still got mad. She still got upset. But honestly, if Jed hadn't been outed with a girlfriend, I'm sure most people would be like, that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's really not okay.
It was uncomfortable where she kind of came back to him at the end like nothing had happened. She did say, you were honest. He is allowed his criticism, of which he gave to her, because she wants him to be honest.
Honesty is, I can't believe you're with that guy. That's kind of weird. Okay, now me and you. What he did was make his love contingent on Luke.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not fair. Even, it's a weird situation. Yes, it's nothing like real life. But when you ask for honesty, then you're not asking for someone to hold an emotional, threat against you. I can't stop using that word.
Yeah. No, I mean, now that I see it from what you're saying, it makes a lot of sense. I kind of stepped back from my slight defense of what he said. It did end well. And I guess in some weird, sinister, manipulative way, for him to come out on top of that makes him feel like super sinister and manipulative, which is a good feeling for him.
Yeah. There's definitely a control, an issue of control, because he did that to control. And, he attacked the hardest because he has the most to hide.
Yeah.
You play a good offense.
Yeah.
When you're trying to keep your defense, I don't know. There's something. There's some sports analogy there.
This is not the Bachelor zone. Let's. Like, I'm gonna mention them in every podcast from now on. After that whole kerfuffle with Bachelor Party, not mentioning them.
Okay. So let's go into Luke.
Okay. Hold on. Wait. Okay. So where did they sleep that night? Was that at the boat?
I don't know where they slept.
I think they were on the. Or was that Tyler? Tyler was on the boat, which seemed way too small and was rocking in the waves, which would not, even if they were going to have sex, would probably not be very romantic. I think it probably make everyone seasick.
Hmm.
Jed, you didn't write down where Jed and them went?
No, I don't know. It's just it was just a hotel. That's the way I saw it in the morning. Their morning was just a hotel.
Oh, that's right. She was wearing this actually kind of cute morning kind of PJ thing. Apparently now it's a thing you bring your backpack. All of them had their backpacks for a change of clothes, but they were basically nude in bed, totally like intertwined, which would be hard to fake. So they must have had some fun, either fun or talk or whatever it is people do.
Like we said last week, you can only have sex on TV after you said, I love you. To not be morally chastised afterwards. And that's something she pushed them all to say, forced it out of them, or they forced it on themselves. And that was really, it gets harder to watch.
It was getting real, well, now that I know he loves me and he's showing his love, it felt like a little bit too, or something.
Yeah, it was exactly. It was a little bit too, what kind of ritual is that anymore at all? It's not a ritual if you take away the meaning.
If you're a guy and you say, oh, she checks all the boxes, that's now, you can't say that. That's now a thing you can't say. But she's enacting that completely. Well, he checked the, I said, I love you box, or in love box, and now I'm a whole different person in this relationship. So it's a lot of, it seemed very wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Luke.
Oh, Luke, sorry. Yes.
She had a very, a gaslit statement that I thought was telling that he's his best around me.
I like how you used gaslit.
Well, it's
gaslighting,
like,
is a verb,
And right. She has already been.
It was very good.
That he's his best only with me or only around me. That's what someone who does that wants to make you think, especially a man to a woman, because women, cishet, gender normative women, are kind of told or asked to fix other people's lives in lots of ways, right? Either you're a mother or you watch your mom or you take care of your dad or your family with little things around the house, things like that. So I thought that was an interesting kind of manifestation of how far she's come with Luke in terms of what he asks, what he shows her. In that case, I'm not defending Luke at all. I'm just saying Hannah is at a place where it's bad.
Right.
She's, and the only thing that pushed her over the edge was feeling like he was being a hypocrite. But I'm critical of Hannah right now. I guess when the episode was airing live, Hannah was live tweeting.
Right, with Luke.
With Luke.
They weren't getting along on Twitter, for sure.
Right, right. These back and forth kind of out-bibling each other.
Yeah.
And
oh my God, you're on fire today, Izia.
I'm having the vacation, not sadness.
Yeah, you're on the vacation. You're having travel karma or whatever.
Yeah, I'm having the vacation high or whatever. This one really kind of hurt me because I thought through it all, the one person that would defend some part of Luke would be Hannah because she had all along. And I think, and I hate to bring this up again to you, to everybody, but especially to you, Craig, that a few weeks ago, I got very, I think a big problem with her is that same quote she said to Luke weeks ago, that she wants someone that everyone looks towards and wants to be with or wants to be or whatever she said. However she phrased it, but that's basically the quote. And I'm critical that she's not standing by her own convictions, that she saw something good in Luke. That's what will get him help. Now it's not her responsibility to fix him, but I don't like that Bachelor Nation, and it really is Bachelor Nation and the editors, obviously. The editors influencing directly Bachelor Nation. That because he could have been a sympathetic character that needed help, because he does. That they beat out of her the good she saw inside of him. I do think it's more of her wanting to make sure she does the right thing by society's standards. And I think the right thing there would be compassion. Because through it all, he's not irredeemable. Like, he's not past the point of redemption. Like, everyone wants to talk about, oh, you know, she's the victim, she's the victim, she's the victim. And she is, except that she's on a national platform where everyone's seeing her. Everyone's going to get her help. This is a great example. And Luke can completely be chastised. Like, he's going to be cut off from society. There are men on this show that 100% are like, whoa, you're way far out there, buddy. Luke is trying to figure it out, like we said in the beginning, where, you know, he's barely getting some things in and you're politically or you're religiously immature still. And you're trying to figure it out. And you're trying to, like, Christian explain to everybody why what they're doing is wrong. That's a normal phase of like enlightenment. So I don't think he's, you know, too far gone. But that one really bothered me, that Hannah could redeem him, and she would look even better if she did. You know, she wants to look good. She wants everyone to like who she likes, or she wants to like someone that everyone likes. Actually, that's what bothers me, not the other one.
But the tweets and stuff, you're saying it's not the enlightened Christian redeemer thing to do to continue to argue with him on Twitter. She should forgive him and offer anything that he might need or something like that.
Exactly. And, you know, like, I think, speaking about the redeemable thing of Luke, he came on this show to be, if I can, like, you know, fixed by marriage. I think he's just on, and he's not willing right now to do the emotional work to make himself better for a relationship, because he's confusing emotional abuse for romance. Mm-hmm. I think if people keep doing the same thing they're doing to him, they're going to push him past that point. And he could be a great example. The Bachelor can be a great example for people, or it can be nothing. Because sometimes some people just have to experience it, have to go through it. Just have to go through that emotional thing that happened. So for Hannah, it was Luke finally showed her who he was with other men, and it finally pissed her off.
Right.
And she was told who he was, and she didn't listen, so it didn't matter. What she had to do is experience it and get annoyed, and then she actually, whatever, she stopped with him. Mm-hmm. And you know, another thing is that the reason I think he's redeemable is because he pushes. He pushed her until he confirmed his own bias.
Mm-hmm.
And then he walked it back and he walked it forward and he had no idea
that walking
how to figure
back
it out.
Thing was...
When you're emotionally traumatized, you are looking for your partners to be your parents and unconditionally love you. So you push them and push them. And then when they don't, you walk it back because you become a scared kid again. Of like, no, I didn't mean it. Please don't punish me. But partners
don't. This explains a lot in my relationship life. I'm just being serious.
Okay. Well, I like that we saw that, but I'm ashamed. Like, I'm not ashamed. I feel bad that it was not taken about how emotionally abused people emotionally abuse others. It made me, like, it really did. When I see him say something, it also goes back to what we said before, where people like this who are extremely jealous and have a lot of issues with childhood love will want 100% from the person. But when they can't get that, they keep going down and they'll barter and they'll do anything to make sure that things are like getting better when they are just obviously getting worse. Mm. So it like made me sad because it could be something where everyone picks up on it because we all know someone like that, or maybe we are that person and everyone's just, you can't keep piling on. That is what like bullying actually is what people are, doing to Luke right now.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Craig. Do I know you?
I can only tack on things, and I'm now mansplaining because you just brilliantly summed everything up and I can only add stuff at the end.
You can reword it to understand. I don't know. I'm not super clear all the time.
I try to crack some jokes. Therefore, they're not in the same domain. I couldn't get past the gold cross, of course, as our listeners know. And I feel like we won that battle of it. We pointed that out early on. And now I think everyone gets that that cross is obnoxious. But the date was really good. You want to talk about dates we've seen on The Bachelor over the years?
Mm-hmm.
Unadulterated, fun. He looked good. She looked good. Bucket list. They talk about things other than the fact that they're on the show.
That is what gaslighters do, though. They'll give you half a day of greatness and half a day of sadness, you know?
Let me bounce off that just a little bit. As somebody who's struggled with some mental health things, I know that's a lot of people do, of course, but he was really up. Like, way up. Whatever was going on with his brain chemistry, now it's not hard to understand how he could see Jesus in the shower. I mean, being very serious here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, when I go through a bit of a up, things get very bright. Like, the world just seems a lot brighter. I've learned to recognize that. I think he was also kind of up at dinner, because he still was kind of, things were bright and shiny to him. But to get back to your point, the thing that really confounded me was that he started walking it back. I mean, he seemed very 100% committed to his convictions. And for him to say, well, I'm going to leave if you had sex with anyone. And she's like, well, I have. And he's like, wait, you know, we can work this out. And that's when she really lost it. Because she did so rightfully. He's like, you don't tell me when I can work something out based on something I did. I thought she was right on with a lot of her criticism there. It just based on how he's been so 100% in on everything, the whole season, that he would walk it back seemed very inconsistent.
We speculated, and I'm not for speculation about what the whole, how the, her talking about sex in the windmill came out. And it the fact that it was meant as a way to get him to stop or like get him back to hurt him.
It was
made to get him to leave.
She gave him a lot of opportunities to leave and she made her wanting him to leave very clear. I don't feel any amount of she shouldn't have done that.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the way she said it was a way to get him to leave, as opposed to, I thought it was in a heat of the moment type thing.
Oh, I see.
Like, I'm not judging it. I think when you want someone to leave, there's no more any code of conduct at that point. You can say whatever you want if you really want them to leave. I have no problem what they're saying that, but I think it's completely different, the context.
I guess I never really saw the previews of it as being her trying to, like, rub something. I always just kind of assumed that she was trying to get in and leave. Maybe it's because I've been there in person on both sides.
Yeah, but, yeah. You know, 100% he's saying, don't have sex with anyone else. And then they're like, 75%. All right. It's okay.
Yeah. He's like, if and you then only she's have like, sex with 50%.
Yeah. She's only trying to like bump him down to make sure he like, you know, now I really don't want to be with you, but that's not, it's not going to work with someone who's trying to barter. You know, you're going to like, they're going to barter for anything at that point.
Yeah. His 50%, 75% rant was the append to this brilliant monologue that he did. I think we should etch what Luke says in that whole 5-minute span into stone, so it's forever immortalized. And
imagine we're taking someone's like most vulnerable, most horrible moment, and then it's on TV. That is, whenever that's happened to me, whether I'm Luke or I'm Hannah, those are the moments in my life that I look back and regret and cringe. And I'm glad there's only two of us there. You know what you're saying about, I think you're backdoor diagnosing him as bipolar a little bit.
You said it, not me.
I don't feel like I need to give a disclaimer, but yeah, that's the way it feels. Luke called out people that have been on The Bachelor. He said,
It's become a thing where you say, now we're going to have sex. And
yeah, he said people go on the show and pretend to be Christian and then they have sex and that's not okay. And I don't think that's wrong. You know, I think he's calling out an American hypocrisy of, like we said, you have to say I love you.
Puritanical
and that's
thing.
Getting
yeah,
married. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he was basing it off that and he's not as clear as he should be. Now, if he had Jed's wordplay or whatever, someone who's a little bit more tactical, he might have pulled that whole thing off. A little bit better. I mean, Hannah still would have gotten mad. She totally gets it. I'm not saying she's dumb and that she could have been lied to. But I thought that was very interesting that he just said, people go on the show and are hypocrites. I'm not going to be that hypocrite. I hope you're not going to be that hypocrite either. I mean, that's not okay. But that's where you should have stopped. I'm not going to be that hypocrite.
It's not over, though, because he's going to come make a big scene next week, right?
Yeah. Which is Tyler's chance to play Knight in Shining Armor bullshit. Like, guys like that are looking for that moment. You know, they'll go into stores, like walking in, like they're about to punch somebody because they're waiting for someone to bump them.
I had a guy follow me out once.
Yeah.
I apparently looked at him wrong.
You know these men. We all know these men. Like, even
like,
if
I wasn't
we don't
looking
know
at anything, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's and because it's always some other frustration, like Tyler and Luke, like those two are not that dissimilar. I think they're just, you know, fighting for alpha male. They're not really fighting for Hannah. I mean, I don't think either one of them is. So he gets his shot. And that's the best thing you can do to a guy like that is to to Tyler. If you ever run into a real Tyler, I think women need to hear this. The way you emasculate them the best is to take away that power of them being able to, like, you know, like, don't let them stand up for you. Don't let them do
that. Right.
This is why Tyler to me is so toxic. Like that to me is like totally a toxic guy. Yeah. Okay. So I like one thing Hannah said a lot because as a woman, I do.
How many more things do we have on your list here?
Well, this is my last thing. This is my last thing.
Last.
Women make a lot of sacrifices for guys. They give them a lot of passes. And as opposed to guys who are kind of looking for that one thing that was wrong all the time. Remember we were talking about that episode of Friends where he makes a list about what's not good about Rachel.
Yeah.
And she has fat ankles or something. And you were saying it. And I hadn't seen that episode in years.
Yeah,
but
she finds the list. Yeah.
Women totally idealize men all the time. And it's funny because it's so hard to live in this balancing act that we cishet gender normal. And you can tell me what men do. It's fine. We all do something. We all do something. But this is what women do. And I will tell you, like, I'll give you my best example that's a pretty blanket example. You'll meet a guy the first night. And yeah, he might be super, super attractive, but you can't be as attracted. You can't be as attracted to him as you want to be because you're like, I don't even know him. He might not even be that good. So like, I've not kissed a guy the first time I met him, even though I thought he was very attractive. And then you get to know him and you see flaws, like not just
physical. Man, you and I have very different approaches.
Yeah, I know we do. But I'm telling you what the kind of mindset a lot of women go through.
Yeah.
And then so you get to know a guy second, third time, the same guy. You've built him already up in your head from the first night. Whether you see flaws or, you know, see physical flaws or you see red flags, you have already kind of filled in confirmation bias and you give him two and three chances. Now, I think if most men thought like this, but then went back to being men after the second night or the second time they see them, they would have just been like, cut, you're cut. But women don't do that. Women will fill in spots. And I think it's this princess mindset where you are really trying to make a guy what you think a guy should be, what your what princess stories have told you a guy should act like or whatever. And it's really harmful for women because with so many red flags that she had early on that she set herself, she had on her own without the men's help, she should have cut him. She should have cut him, but I'm guilty of this. And it's such a hard thing to get over because you really want to give, like, you know, men are not sending their best people. Right. there's not a time when anyone's completely like been so great. So that to me was very emblematic of what so many women go through. And this is regular women.
What is the preview of Tyler standing?
She said to him at the dinner, I've given you so many chances and that I've made a lot of, like, I've given you a lot of passes and you're not willing to give me this pass about having had sex with people. Like, you want all, you know, you've not fulfilled my standards such and such so many times, yet this one thing and I'm already cut from your life. That's a good
sum up. So Luke and Hannah are a microcosm of dating.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry, I think the humidity is starting to get to my head. Sort of fade in and out. Are we talking about Tyler? Are we talking about Luke?
It's Peter. Everybody. Peter's too young looking.
You didn't kiss until the second date. Okay. I don't know if I have much capacity to parse out much more.
No, so I'm done.
We should end here. I don't know what she's left with. I mean, really, what's she left with? Whatever. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows really, because they filmed.
Jed is the kind of guy that gets picked by The Bachelor at all these years. I mean, Jed fits the profile, so whatever.
Bachelorettes tend to pick someone a little bit below them, not always. Yeah. I don't think Rachel did, for example, and I don't think Becca did. The men are like, what, that guy? You know, the first couple Bachelorettes were like that, like, what, that guy?
Whoa. Well, Jed will be that guy if he's the guy. Well,
Jed will be that guy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jed might be that guy.
Okay. Look, I'm cutting this off.
Yeah, I'm done.
I gotta go.
I like you. You can't fire me because I quit.
You can't fire me because I started this podcast. You can rename it, but you can't have our subscriptions.
I'm saying
I'm because in the shower.
Well, it's because you're saying that. All right, let's not really.
So what's the weather like out on the island?
It rained all day yesterday, and today it's like 70, 65 degrees.
It's a mountain cold.
Pacific Northwest cold, like just regular, just Kurt Cobain-y up here.
Next week,
okay.
We'll just figure out when we're going to record and post. I'll be in Pittsburgh or something, and you might be venturing in the Arctic, but we'll figure it out.
Okay, bye.
See ya.